Welcome to Citizens June 19, 2018 Finance and Investment Committee meeting, publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register. Please do not place this call on hold. Press star 6 to mute your line and pound 6 to unmute your line. Our meeting will convene momentarily with a roll call for quorum. Citizens board and committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available at our website. Thank you for your patience. Chairman, would you like for me to proceed with a roll call?
Please, thank you.
Okay, Chairman Gardner.
Here.
Gary Aubuchon.
Here.
Betty Brown.
Here.
Mark Dunbar.
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to the Finance and Investment Committee. We'd like to welcome Governor Dunbar, who was just recently appointed to the committee. Governor Dunbar, thanks. It's good to have you today. I understand you're calling in remote.
Yes, I am. Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. First order of business is approval of the prior meeting's minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Thank you. That motion carries. Second order of business is the market update. I'd like to recognize Kapil Bhatia from Raymond James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Governors. I'll be very brief to give you where we are in terms of the market and economic conditions. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. There are currently 6.1 million people unemployed, or the unemployment rate is 3.8%. In addition, there are 162 million civilians employed in the U.S. from a total civilian population of 257 million, or the labor participation rate is 62.7%. As compared to the labor participation rate of 67% 20 years ago in July of 1997, which was the highest. The U6 unemployment rate, which includes persons marginally attached to the labor force and those employed part-time due to economic reasons, is 7.6%. If we adjust for all of the numbers, the lower participation rate, as well as the difference between U6 unemployment rate of 7.6% and the most commonly used unemployment rate of 3.8%, there are effectively 12 to 15 million people still on the sidelines looking for a job. That is one of the reasons there is no wage pressure in the economy. I also want to compare some of the labor statistics going back to 2007, right after the financial crisis. Since that point of time, the unemployment rate is down by 1.2% for both U3 and U6. The labor force participation is down by 3%. The number of retired workers currently on Social Security has increased by 10 million. So even though the unemployment rate is low, there are more younger workers in the labor force, and that's also keeping the wage pressure low and the wage growth low. And suddenly, that means there is no inflation as we see and you hear in the numbers. Even though the Fed has increased the rates once in 2015, once in 2016, three times in 17, and then again so far twice in 18, that's an increase of 7 rates since the December of 2015, the Fed funds rate is still at the low level of 1.75 to 2%. And that has resulted in 2 years' rates significantly higher. However, the 10-year rates have not increased. So Fed effectively has no control over the long-term rates, and that reflects a global economic growth as well as the U.S. economic growth, which is still struggling to go over or approach the 3% level. Looking at the economic growth over the last 5 years on an average of, the economic growth in the U.S. has been 2.3% compared to the global economic growth of around 0.5% and Japanese growth to be negative, and that's putting that pressure on interest rates, and that's one of the reasons global interest rates are still very low and not expected to change much. Even though the second quarter number, the GDP growth is expected to be around 4%, however, that's a temporary effect because of the tax cuts as well as the repatriation. We don't expect the U.S. growth to be higher than 2.7% in 2019 after the one-time adjustments have been done. Talking about the interest rates, globally still there is a $9 trillion worth of sovereign debt trading at negative yields. And almost all in Europe, the five-year rates are still negative. And the only reason the treasury rates are where they are because of where the dollar is and what the hedging cost is. Once the dollar gets stronger, we expect rates to come down, and we don't expect 10-year Treasury rates to go over 3% regardless of what Fed does over the next 6 months. And lastly, the bond market issuance. The 2017 corporate issuance was almost $1.67 trillion, which was far greater than 2016, and we have been hitting over $1 trillion since 2011. The 2018 corporate debt issuance is expected to be closer to $1.2 billion because corporates are issuing less debt because of repatriation of the foreign cash which they are bringing home, and they don't need to issue as much debt as they have historically for mergers and acquisition as well as for the stock buybacks. And on the municipal side, 2017 and 16 were strong with over $400 billion of issuance. 2018 is relatively much smaller just because of the tax law changes as well as the interest rates have gone up, so there is not much savings for refunding. We expect this year's issuance to be closer to $250 to $275 billion. Risk transfer markets, on the other hand, are very strong, even after the 2017 hurricane losses, which cost approximately 10% of global reinsurance capital to evaporate, but it was not really a surprise. The Irma, Harvey, and Maria losses were of large size, but because it was not a surprise, everybody was expecting a couple of those large events, and reinsurance market was prepared to absorb that, so it was more of an earnings event than actually a capital event. And we have not seen, regardless of the wishful thinking by the reinsurance, rates are still where we were in 2017. The Florida market has seen a rate increase of 1%, all adjusted from 2017. And I'm sure Jennifer will talk more about it, where the reinsurance rates of our placement in 2018. And lastly, the cat bond markets are very strong. Last year, we ended at $31 billion in total outstanding cat debt. This year, we expect that number to be closer to $37 billion. So the alternative capital from other sources are coming into the risk transfer market, and that's one more reason the reinsurance rates are where they are. With that, I'll stop to see if there are any questions.
Thank you, Kapil. Members, any questions? Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to the next item is the risk transfer update. Jennifer Montero, you're recognized. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Behind tab three are the layer charts, the 2018 layer charts. Following the May 8th Board of Governors teleconference approving our risk transfer program, we priced the 2018 cat bonds and closed on the bonds on May 15th, 2018. We initially went to market seeking $200 million in coverage. However, strong demand led to us being oversubscribed, which allowed us to increase the cat bond to $250 million at a rate online of 4.75%. This 2018 cat bond sits in the same $880 million layer as the $300 million 2017 cat bond, which reset at 4.92% rate online. After evaluating the pricing quotes for the traditional layers, we sent out the firm order terms following the May 8th teleconference and signed the final lines on May 23rd. As with the cat bond, due to strong demand, we were oversubscribed on the traditional layers as well. The first layer provides $183 million of traditional coverage alongside the mandatory layer of the cat fund and has a rate online of 10.75%. The aggregate multi-year layer, which sits right above the first layer and is in the same $880 million layer as the cap bonds and the 2017 traditional aggregate multi-year placement, provides $150 million of traditional coverage at a rate online of 6.6%. The single-year aggregate layer, which is right above the multi-year aggregate layer, provides $300 million of coverage with a rate online of 5.25%. The final layer, which you'll find on the second page of the coastal account layer charts, provides $60 million of commercial non-residential coverage with a rate online of 5%. For the 2018 hurricane season, our private reinsurance program totals $1.423 billion in coverage with an overall rate online of 6.02%. compared to 6.92% rate online for the $1.3 billion in coverage in place for the 2017 hurricane season. Additionally, we are protecting 66% of our surplus in a 1 in 100 year event as compared to 50% in 2017. And that completes my update.
Any questions for Jennifer? Great job. You know, it's 12 or 13% reduction in cost. Very creative, and great job, Koppel, in leading and advising, and our reinsurance brokers and banker partners. So another fantastic job. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Okay, next item is, looks like an action item, custodian banking services.
Yes, it's a contract. It's the result of invitation to negotiate 12-003, which was issued in February of 2012 for services relating to custodian banking services. The resulting contract was issued in November of 2012 and has 2 one-year renewals. This will be the second one-year renewal. The purpose of the consent item is to obtain authorization for a second one-year renewal of contract number 12-11-003-00 for custodian banking services. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Jennifer?
I do have a question. What exactly is custodian banking services?
The custodian bank is actually where all the money is actually physically kept. They're the custodian bank. So when our investment bankers are investing our funds, this is where it's housed.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, the formal recommendation is it is recommended that Citizens Board approve the second contract renewal for 1 year to the Bank of New York Mellon for custody banking services based on 0.275 basis points of market value of active portfolios, an estimated amount of $300,000 for this renewal, and authorize staff to take any appropriate or necessary actions consistent with the consent item.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mark Dunbar. Can I put something in the record before we move forward with the vote?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be filling out a Form 8A. I was just informed this morning by my law firm that we do some work for Bank of New York Mellon, so I just wanted to go ahead and state that on the record, and my Form 8A will be coming soon behind it. So I'll be abstaining from this vote.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
No objection. That motion carries. We're to item 5, the investment portfolio update.
The total portfolio is $9.91 billion, with approximately $8.7 billion externally managed and $1.2 billion internally managed. The taxable portfolio is $7.96 billion, or approximately 80%. The tax-exempt portfolio is about $1.95 billion, which is about 20%. The total portfolio average duration is slightly over 4 years, with 4% maturing in less than 90 days and 27% maturing between 90 days and 3 years. The total portfolio income return for 1 year is 2.42%. On slide 2, interest rates, the rates for 1-, 3-, and 5-year treasuries have been increasing over the last year and currently are 2.32%, 2.67%, and 2.8% respectively, while the yield curve is getting flatter. Tax exempt rates have also increased similarly over the last year. On slide 3, 88% of the portfolio is externally managed by 15 taxable and or tax exempt portfolio managers. 12% of the portfolio is managed internally, consisting of operating funds, debt service funds, and debt service reserve funds. Taxable and tax-exempt portfolios have very strong credit quality. 87% of tax-exempt portfolios are in the money market funds or rated AA or higher, and approximately 82% of the taxable portfolio is in money market funds or rated A or higher. Over 27% of the taxable portfolio is in Treasury and agency securities. And on slide 4, the total portfolio return summary, 2.24% of income return over the last 12 months and 2.03% over the last 2 years. And there's an appendix with the full report following that tab.
Thank you, Jennifer. Members, any questions? Okay, thank you. We are to, for information, DPOP and clearinghouse updates, not part of the agenda per se, unless anyone has any questions or comments or would like clarification. I see Steve back there with a smile on his face, ready, willing, and able. Okay, hearing none, I'll accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Any objection? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.